Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. We hear this word of our Lord. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there, and as soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them, and then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowd answered, "It's the prophet, Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Friends, the word of the Lord. Some of you experienced the victory of World War II, and others of us have at least seen on television old newsreel footage of the celebration of victory in Europe, and then came victory over Japan and other victory parades. Now, there were no such celebrations after the wars in Korea or Vietnam, but after the Allied victory in the Persian Gulf, we attempted to make up for all of that with tremendous celebrations and victory parades. You might remember the attention of the whole nation was fixed on General Norman Schwarzkopf, who was the man of the hour. It's an ancient custom dating back in history to other times and other places where kings and warriors were welcomed home with victory celebrations and parades through city gates. It happened in Jerusalem whenever a new king ascended the throne. The people turned out and lined the streets. They spread their garments on the ground and waved palm branches in the air, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And then one day, long after the Israelite kings had gone and there was no more glory and nothing to celebrate, Jesus came. "Who is this?" the people on the street asked. And the crowd answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus had come to Nazareth, or to Jerusalem from Galilee. He'd come down the Jordan Valley, through the streets of Jericho and up that long and winding road toward the city of Jerusalem. He and his disciples stopped out there at a little village called Bethphage. Bethphage is a term which means house of figs. They stopped there just before they got to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus sent two disciples into the village to get a donkey. And then Jesus got on that donkey and rode over the Mount of Olives, heading toward the gate of the city of Jerusalem. So how did Jesus know that donkey would be there? Well, likely someone left it for him. How did the people know he was coming to the city? Well, someone let them know. How did they know it was Jesus, the prophet from Galilee, the one rumored to be the new king of the Jews? Well, someone told them who he was, because it says in our Bible passage that the crowd said, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The man from Galilee had finally come to Jerusalem, and all these people turned out to see him, to give him a victory parade. It was VJ Day all over again, only instead of victory over Japan, it was victory in Jerusalem. Victory in Jerusalem today had finally come. "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." But there was something wrong there. It was a hollow victory. There was an undercurrent moving through the crowd, in the midst of the disciples, into the heart of Jesus. Jerusalem was nothing like Galilee, and there was a tension in the air. And the victory parade was not a real victory of any lasting duration. There's a great curtain of tragedy which falls over this episode. It's a tragic kind of victory. Today, Palm Sunday is a reminder of this fact. Palm Sunday always stands as a great divider. Now, if you're following along with the study guide in your bulletin, this is the first point I'm trying to make today, and I'll repeat it. Palm Sunday always stands as a great divider. Palm Sunday separates us into two groups of people who either simply have opinions about what a nice fellow Jesus must have been, or people who care or dare to cast their lots with him. Palm Sunday separates us into either those who follow public opinion and go along with the crowd, or those who are willing to leave the safety of the crowd and walk through the gates of the city with Jesus. Just remember, some of those who are shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," on Palm Sunday, later that same week will be shouting, "Crucify him!" The tragedy of Palm Sunday always confronts us with a choice. I'll repeat that. The tragedy of Palm Sunday always confronts us with a choice. As we think about Jesus going to Jerusalem and the people who greeted him, I'd like you to remember this. The tragedy was that the people's participation was void of sincerity. And I'll repeat that also. The tragedy was that the people's participation was void of sincerity. Many of the people just turned out to watch Jesus go by. We know from the Gospels, as Matthew tells us, that a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut branches off the trees and spread them on the road. But what were these people really doing? Did they really know? Did they really care who this person was and what he was all about? Now, it's true that there must have been many people in Jerusalem who were loyal followers of Jesus. It's also true that by this time, many people had already fallen away from him. But there were still many who were still with Jesus. For so many in Jerusalem on that day, however, there must have been very little meaning as to what was going on. Their participation was void of any real commitment to Jesus and who he was and what he was all about and what his entry into Jerusalem really meant. Many of those people had long ago lost the meaning of who they were and the spirit of their faith. There was a woman who was cleaning out her canary's cage when her cell phone rang. And with a vacuum in one hand and her cell phone in the other, she answered the phone. And before she could turn off the vacuum cleaner, the canary was sucked up into the vacuum. So she told her friend that she was going to call her right back. And she pulled the bird out of the machine and washed him off in the sink and blow-dried him and set him back on his perch. And when she called her friend back, she said, "Well, I think he's all right, but he just sits there with a funny look on his face, staring straight ahead and not singing anymore." Obviously, that canary had been through the mill. Well, Jerusalem had been through the mill many times before with false prophets and false messiahs, and many of those people must have been feeling void of any real feeling. One of the reasons they reacted to Jesus the way they did is that they couldn't accept the things that he'd been saying. They were looking for a new king who would free them from Rome, who would come at the head of a large army of angels and conquer these Romans and kick them out of Jerusalem and finally let the Jewish people be free and rule themselves again. They wanted that kind of kingdom and its glory. But the kingdom they had heard from Jesus, that had to do more with God's kingdom. A kingdom within them. A kingdom which had already come. E. Stanley Jones, the great missionary, told of being in South Africa on a preaching mission. And the pastor who traveled with him said, "You preach a troublesome gospel. We preach a kingdom in heaven hereafter that upsets nothing now. But you preach a kingdom here on earth, and that upsets everything." Well, the preaching of Jesus upset everything, because he preached that the kingdom of God is here all around us, within us, God ruling our lives. On this Palm Sunday, would you be willing to let that kind of kingdom live in you? And would you be willing to participate in what that kingdom means? Then remember this also. The tragedy was that their exaltation of Jesus was merely verbal. I'll repeat that. The tragedy was that their exaltation of Jesus was merely verbal. The people gave Jesus lip service on that first Palm Sunday. Many of them cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" They gave Jesus lip service. And that is all that many of them gave him. Their exaltation was merely a verbal exercise. Oh, they were willing to join the chorus as long as it cost nothing. After all, there was no real risk in standing by the road and watching the parade go by. But the call of Jesus has always meant more than that. It has always required the complete giving of a person's life to Jesus and to all that he is about. Truth is, Jesus didn't need the kind of exaltation that was just lip service. He didn't require that or want that kind of lip service. Now, it's true, he didn't try to stop it, but apparently the Pharisees did. If we look at this story in Luke's gospel, Luke tells us that when the Pharisees saw what was happening and heard the shouts, "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord," they said to Jesus, "Teacher, scold your disciples. Tell them to stop." And Jesus replied to them, "I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout." Jesus accepted what was being shouted, and many were sincere in this. But for most of them, their exaltation was merely verbal. Thomas Pilgrim tells about the time a couple came out of the worship service and talked to him. He knew that they'd been away on a month-long trip, and so he asked them how it went. And the husband said, "It was fine. And while we were gone, we didn't hear a preacher anywhere as good as you are." And Pilgrim said he straightened up a bit, and he was trying to think of a response when the man continued, "We didn't hear any preacher at all. We didn't go to church." Well, in the same way, many in Jerusalem were saying to Jesus, "We never heard anyone like you." Because they weren't listening to anybody. Jesus had no trouble drawing a crowd, but it wasn't verbal support that he wanted. And still today, it's not verbal support Jesus wants. Still today, Jesus wants men and women, young people and children, who will step out of the crowd on the side of the road and walk with him. This is the call of Jesus, to come follow him, not to just cheer as he walks by alone. Always, it means the commitment of a life to him, something more than just lip service, something beyond mere verbal exaltation. A man had become very successful and was invited to come back to speak at the little church in the town where he'd grown up. He told about many of his childhood experiences. And he said that Once he heard a preacher say that we should give all we have to Jesus. And then he said, as a boy, I heard that statement and decided I would. I had $1.82 and I gave it all to Jesus. And that has made a big difference in my life. It has caused me to be blessed. As you know, I now own a large company. Thousands work for me. I don't know my net worth, but it's a lot. He paused for a moment and a little boy said, Mister, would you do it again? Would you give all you have to Jesus now? On this Palm Sunday, are you willing to give Jesus something other than just a good word? Would you give him your life and would you join him on the road? Then I'll ask you to remember this. The tragedy was that their recognition of Jesus was only visual. I'll repeat that. The tragedy was that their recognition of Jesus was only visual. It was nothing more than that for so many of them. Matthew tells us that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Who is this? They asked. And the crowd answered, it's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. They recognized him, but it was only a visual kind of recognition. They weren't really recognizing Jesus as the ruler in their lives. However, this is the call of Palm Sunday, to recognize Jesus as the ruler of our lives. And that's the challenge of Palm Sunday that it always causes us to face. This is true because the time comes when we simply have to choose. Well, as the week went on, the wave of popular approval died down, and more Jesus was alone as less and less people supported him. And finally, in the end, he stands alone. Today, we face a choice. It is the call to recognize Jesus for who he is, and to do that by making Christ the ruler of our lives. I'll repeat that. Today, we face a choice. It is the call to recognize Jesus for who he is, and to do that by making Christ the ruler of our lives. It's a choice we always face. Today on Palm Sunday, that choice is before us. There are many ways we can make that choice by giving ourselves to Jesus and serving him through his church. To recognize Jesus and who he is compels us to serve him. Maybe there are times when some of us are tempted to take the easy way and live only for ourselves with no concern about the hurts of the world, the challenge of Christ, the call of the church, the demands of the kingdom. But that man on the cross who went to face Jerusalem will not let us get away or get off so easily or disappear into some safe harbor of escapism. Always, Jesus calls us to meet him in the road and to go with him. Hugh Latimer was a great preacher in England, and once while he was preaching at Westminster Abbey, he saw the King of England in the congregation. And Hugh Latimer said out loud, Latimer, 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 be careful what you say. The King of England is here. He paused for a moment and then he said, Latimer, 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 be careful what you say. The King of Kings is here. Palm Sunday confronts us with this truth. The King of Kings is here facing us in our own Jerusalem. He calls us to never be careful again, to be willing to give up safety and approval, to give up ease and escapism, to step out into the street and follow him to the end and to the beginning. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Who is this Jesus? This is the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Would you go with him? Would you dare? Amen.